Well, good morning. Welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church's live stream service from the auditorium here in Lake Worth, Texas. I was asking my wife this morning how long we've been doing this. It's been so long. I believe this is the fifth Sunday to meet by way of the internet. And Lord willing, this is coming to an end pretty soon. If this is not the last, hopefully it will be one of the last times that we have to do this. I was just sharing, I miss my brothers and sisters in Christ. I miss being together as a church family, being able to worship our Lord together, sing His praises together. So I, for one, am looking forward to this shelter at home or stay at home, whatever they call this thing. Well, there's not a whole lot to catch you up on at this point. I guess that's an obvious understatement, except to challenge you to continue to pray for the end of all this, that, again, we can see folks getting past all the virus and the spread stopped, and we can get into the politics of all that at another time. Also, dear ones, be assured that we will be ready when the time comes to deal with being back together. Whatever requirements come down from our leaders to enable us to safely gather together again. Whatever it takes, I'm ready to do that. We have now, once again, rescheduled the youth yard sale. As of now, scheduled, excuse me, for Saturday, May 9th, and that'll still be fine. They're scheduled for the first week of June to go to camp, and to our knowledge, the camp is still wanting to go ahead with their schedule unless something changes between now and then. And we're grateful. Some have continued to drop off those wonderful treasures for the yard sale. And remember, as you do that, and as you support that, it's how we finance, how we send our young people to church camp each summer. We've been doing this for about 9 or 10 years, maybe the 10th. This may well be the 10th time we've done this. Well, this is usually the point in the service when we receive our tithes and offerings after the announcements. Of course, those tithes and offerings go to the work of the Lord right here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And of course, our faith promise giving takes care of our missionaries to the uttermost parts of the earth. And again, be mindful of their ministries. What's going on here is pretty much going on all over the world as people are locked down. Some even more severely, a stronger lockdown and sheltering in place than what we are dealing with here in the United States. Also, I also want to express my gratitude, my appreciation to our church family. You have done what you needed to do to get those offerings and missions giving in, and I so appreciate that. Please, of course, continue. I did also want to share that we have an extra blessing for this evening. Our evangelist Wayne Hudson has recorded a message that will be available in place of our evening service, so please be watching for that later on this evening. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful and thankful for your mercies to us, thankful for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful, Lord, that you've blessed us, you've helped us, you've kept us strong and safe during these times. We pray for those that are battling with the virus, battling with other issues, both physically, spiritually, emotionally in these days. Pray, Father, that your people, our church family, can be an example to the community, an example to the lost of the security, the peace, the assurance that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies to us. Meet with us as we open your word in a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our special this morning is actually going to be done live. Imagine that. Deborah Stevens and Donna Barton are going to sing for us.
Onto the crashing waves, looking to your hope. And just when faith begins to fade, He holds out His hand and calms the waves around you, because He understands. In the middle of He is right by your side. He will never let you fall. So hold your head up high in the middle of your trial. He is right there for you. And in the middle of it all, He'll see you through. It takes a lot of courage to stand up straight and tall when you're faced with a Goliath. Yet you heed the call, and when you let the stone go flying, you close your the problems you may face, how big or how small, it's just a test of faith. So if you're walking in the fire, or facing death in the lion's den, there's nothing He can't handle. Trust in Him. In the middle of it all, He is right by your side. He will never let you fall. So hold your head up high in the middle of your trial. He is right there for you, and in the middle of it all, He'll see you through. Yes, in the middle of it all, He'll see you
through. Appreciate that beautiful song. Hopefully you have your Bible where you're at. You can take that Bible and be turning to two places in the Scriptures. We're going to return to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24 today, but also to Acts chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. The title of our message for this morning is Going Home. And I think you'll understand what we mean by that title as we read these two passages. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning to read there in verse 50, says this, "And He," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and He led them as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And then turning to the book of Acts in chapter 1, we begin reading there in verse 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And it says this, "And when he," Jesus again, "had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." Father, we bow before you. And Lord, we read from your word, asking you to use it in our hearts and in our lives. We're asking you in Jesus' name to get past the preacher, Lord, and open your word to our hearts and, of course, to our understanding. We need, Father, in these days to hear from you. And I'm praying that there be a word here, a message to our hearts, a message of hope, a message of encouragement also, Father, a message of challenge to live our lives in that hope, in the joy, worshiping you. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, of course, last Sunday, we gave special attention to the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to continue with those events, continue with what happened along the way. I guess it was about 6 weeks after the resurrection. There's a lot that took place in between those two events, the resurrection and the going home of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll leave those events for another time. We're going to look at what took place when Jesus went home. Luke, doctor and ministry partner with the Lord, with the Apostle Paul, penned both of these passages that we just read from. He wrote the gospel bearing his name and also the book of Acts. And what we want to do in this message is compare them in an attempt to understand the actions and statements of the Lord Jesus Christ leading up to that ascension as he gets ready to go home. And, of course, returning back to the right hand of his Father there in heaven. But we also want to note the reaction of his followers, which included those, as we'll see, that he chose as his apostles. So beginning, we want to look at Jesus' final goodbye. His final goodbye to his disciples. And we read there in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 50. And it says, "And he led them," and we'll look at that closer in a moment. "He led them out as far as the Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." Well, maybe I ask funny questions, strange questions when I'm studying, but who are the "them" spoken of here in verse 50? And we have to know that, we have to go back to verse 33 of the chapter to get that answer. It says in verse 33, it says, "And they rose up in the same hour," and again speaking of those two that had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Emmaus. And after he departed from them, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, gathered together, and them that were with them. Well, that doesn't give us a whole lot of help. Doesn't give us a number or the names of who was with Jesus, other than, of course, the 11, who, as we mentioned, are the apostles, and, as it says, them that are with them. Now, we can go back to the book of Acts in chapter 1. We can go to that chapter, and picking up there in the 12th verse, we get a little more help. In Acts chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Then returned they," now this is after the ascension, "then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." Verse 15 says this, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," parenthesis, as you notice, "the number of the names together were about 120. Well, in that passage, we learn that this group that had witnessed the crucifixion had been together in that in-between period. They had pretty much stuck together since the resurrection. The number that met there in the upper room we just read in Jerusalem was approximately 120. Now, the question, were they all there on the Mount of Olives for the homegoing of the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't know. We don't know. They, the 11 and some others leave the city of Jerusalem with Jesus, and they walk that Sabbath day's journey out of the city and up to the Mount of Olives. And as we compare the two passages, Bethany is mentioned, and Bethany is just beyond that high spot where the Mount of Olives is. And from there, from the Mount of Olives, you could see both the city of Jerusalem before you and the town of Bethany behind. We notice here that verse 50 tells us he led them. He led them. Those are precious words to my heart. Jesus led this group. Now, I don't know what the significance of this is, but this is the only place I could find, you can correct me, that I could find in the Gospels with the words that he, speaking of Jesus, led his disciples. Now, don't get me wrong. We do find 32 times in the four Gospels describing his followers, the disciples and others, following him. Following him. Is there a difference between being led and following? Well, I may be picking at that a little bit, but there can be. We're mindful that sometimes a parent or a teacher will have to insist that the children follow them. The same could apply to an employer with an employee, and could also apply to a commander with a soldier. It's not hard to understand a child, an employee, or a soldier, or could we add a disciple needing to be led? Needing to be led. It's a joy, is it not? I can speak as a parent. It's a joy to a parent when their child desires to follow. They want to follow. It's much, much better when employees, or especially soldiers, want to follow their leader. But a question to my heart, question to yours. Do we have to be directed? Do we have to be, in that sense, led? Or do we willingly and joyfully follow our Lord? We like to sing that we do, I will follow Jesus. Yeah, might it be true? In this case, it is obvious that the disciples are willing and ready to follow their master wherever he would lead them. They were following, can I say, they were following him in anticipation of what he might do next. They were excited about the Lord's, now listen, they were excited about the Lord's great victory over death, over the grave. Consider this. Was not his victory over the grave also a victory over the Jewish leaders and even the Roman government that put him to death? I would say it was. I can imagine that the disciples were confident at this point that nothing could stop their master, could stop Jesus now. And what they asked, what they ask him in Acts chapter 1 in verse 6 leads me to believe that they were looking forward to what was coming. In that verse, Acts chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, "And when they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him," speaking of Jesus again, "saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Can I read between the lines a little bit? Give me that permission in this case. Could it be in their hearts they were thinking with these words, "Lord, nothing can stop you now. Nothing can stop you now from establishing yourself as King of Israel. Show yourself to the crowds. Show yourself to the people, and they'll surely follow you." Who, religious leader or government, who could stand in the way of someone who rose from the dead? Now, with that said, of course, that was not God's plan for this time. That was not God's plan. And couldn't I say this? His plan was far greater than that. Look at verses 7 and 8 of Acts chapter 1. Verses 7 and 8, Acts chapter 1. They had just asked the Lord that question. He answers them. He said unto them in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Wow. Jesus explains to them the timing, can we say, the timing of the restoration of Israel was not their concern. It wasn't for them to be thinking about or focusing on. Rather, they were to get busy with what God's plan was for this time, for that time. They would be filled and empowered of the Holy Spirit of God to begin populating the kingdom that Jesus would one day return to and rule as king. He will, beloved, one day sit upon the throne of David. Be mindful where they were standing. They were standing there at the Mount of Olives. And Jesus will one day return to the city of Jerusalem and sit upon the throne of David. From their vantage point, they could look out over that city, even on that very day. Do we follow His lead? Do we follow His lead now in that excitement over both what Jesus Christ has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do in the future? Wow. Well, secondly, under this matter of the Lord Jesus Christ's final goodbye to his disciples, we see that indeed he led them, but he also blessed them. We read a moment ago, but notice in the second part of verse 50, it says he lifted up his hands and blessed them. In the first part of verse 51, it says, and it came to pass while he blessed them. Notice it says he lifted up his hands. He lifted up his hands. It's indicative. It's indicative, I think, it's significant of him extending himself to them, to those that were gathered there witnessing all this. I'm sure you, as I can picture the Lord Jesus Christ standing before his disciples with his hands raised and open unto them. Keep that, please. Keep that picture in your mind. As he has his hands lifted towards them, he gave them his blessing. He pronounced his blessing on them. Jesus gave them his blessing. And as he was giving them his blessing, he was taken up from them. Lifted, literally, from the very ground from which he was standing. Well, what did this blessing mean? What was this about? The word means to bestow divine favor. It means, in this case, to bestow divine favor. Could we say it in the sense that the Lord Jesus Christ was extending his grace upon them? He continues. He continues blessing them as he is taken up into heaven. Now, let me ask you, was that the end of the Lord Jesus Christ's blessing? Was that the end of his blessing on his followers? Is not God continually blessing us even unto this day? God's blessing is not a one and done thing. He did not pronounce a blessing, his blessing, on the disciples and leave them to their own devices or their own abilities. No. His followers, and might I say, including us, enjoy his continuous blessing in our lives. What is Jesus continuing to do even today? Even today. Well, let me read you a few things from the scriptures. What is Jesus continuing to do in heaven right now? Well, we read in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, I would certainly consider this his blessing on us. It says in that 25th verse, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing or understanding he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Beloved, that statement, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, has the idea that he is right now continuing to pray for us, to pray and intercede for us. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, what a tremendous passage of Scripture here. We have the Apostle Paul writing these words to the church in Ephesus. And in that third chapter, I want to pick up there in the 14th verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Notice the words, for this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We carry the name of our God. We carry the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus. Verse 16 says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Oh my! God is continuing to give us His strengthening, His enabling. Where? In our very spirit, by His Spirit. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. The idea of that word comprehend is to get your hands on, to get hold of, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That sounds like God's blessing to me. A continuing blessing from our God. Verses 20 and 21 echo what we see there from Luke chapter 24. The response, the reaction of the disciples. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. By the way, that's present tense too. God's power continues right now to work in us. Unto Him, unto Jesus, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And might we add our amen. Indeed. And just as a companion passage to that, a one verse from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4:19 says this, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do we have God's continuing blessing? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus was taken up from the earth right before the eyes of His followers. They were eyewitnesses of His return to His home with His Father. And as He ascends into the sky, we read that a cloud receives Him out of their sight. Wow. Can you imagine? As I read those words, I try to place myself there, trying to imagine what a sight that was. Is it any wonder, beloved? Is it any wonder the disciples worship Jesus with great joy? Going back to our passage there in the Gospel of Luke, we read in verse 52, it says, they worshiped Him. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Wow. Indeed. They worshiped Him after He ascended into glory. I'm certain even as He was ascending, it was beyond what their hearts could take in. Now, there's a lot of confusion about what it means to worship God. Unfortunately, much of what's called worship in this 21st century has little to do with God and a whole lot to do with man's flesh. But the literal meaning, now get this, it's important. The literal meaning of the word worship used by Luke has the idea. Well, it says it would be the word used to describe a dog licking the hand of his master. Isn't that amazing? A dog licking the hand of his master. Now, in a far nobler way, it also describes the kissing of the hand as an expression of respect to someone. We getting the idea? It was used to describe someone, again, this is amazing, that was used to describe someone that would prostrate themselves in respect to someone. Literally, laying themselves out before someone in reverence. Might I say that this was not, you listening? This was not at all extreme for the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what's gone on. These ones had witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They witnessed His subsequent burial and then in 3 days, His resurrection from the dead. They had witnessed Him appear to them and disappear from them at His will over the last 40 days. And now they have witnessed Him taken up from before their eyes into heaven. Is it at all unreasonable that they would worship Him? That they would so revere, so show this act of worship unto Him? And the worship here described is not shouting or jumping around or some other foolishness. This worship is the expression of hearts. This is the expression of hearts that are overwhelmed with the awesome greatness of their God. The awesomeness of their God and their Savior. If in this message today and from these passages, we would to any degree have our appreciation, our reverence for our Savior elevated, then I have accomplished my purpose. Oh God, please enlarge my heart to have such a reverence for You. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that they returned with joy, with praise for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read there in verse 52. Verse 53 says this, "And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Continually in the temple. There's no question. These people's lives were forever changed. Their lives were forever changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says they were continually in the temple. Not when they felt like it. They always felt like it. Not when it was convenient. No. They were continually in the temple, giving their praise, receiving God's blessing. Indeed. What was the center? What was the focus of their lives? Bringing glory to God. For the rest of their lives, they lived to God's honor. They lived for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our Acts passage, we find that the disciples were challenged by the angels. They were challenged by these two angels. In verse 11, as the Lord Jesus Christ has now been taken up out of their sight, verse 10 it says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Again, this is an appearance of two angels. It says, "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Now, remember, both of these passages of Scripture were written by the same man, Luke. Acts 1 adds some information for us that was not supplied in the Gospel of Luke. And these angels ask the question, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why are you standing here looking up into the sky? Why are you standing here?" He's gone. He's gone home. You have been given a job to do. Jesus is coming again. as they just said. We'll get to that a little bit more in a moment. In that 8th verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read it a moment ago. We read there that they, the disciples, the apostles, had been given their orders. They had been given their employment. What they were to busy themselves with. In Acts chapter 2, they are given their empowering. They were given the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God to accomplish those orders that the Lord Jesus Christ had left them with. Now was not the time to be standing and gazing up into the sky. Now was the time to get busy. And again, we understand Jesus shall return, as the verse says, as He left. This same Jesus, this Jesus that has gone home, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Wow. I don't know about you, but when I read those words, every time I read those words, my heart races about what is in the future. What the future holds. Will we see? Now think about this. Will you and I, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will we see this take place from an earthly or a heavenly perspective? Might we say a perspective or a vantage point? The fact is, regardless, Jesus is coming again. This small group of followers, this small group of loving and devoted followers were the only witnesses of His return to heaven. When he returns to earth, it'll be far different. Now, let me say this. When He returns to earth, it will be in the same manner as we've read, but different in that the world will acknowledge Him then. Turn with me, if you would, to the Revelation, to the book of Revelation in chapter 19. I'll give you a moment. Look with me in that passage, in that 19th chapter of Revelation. Again, John being given a glimpse into the future, what the future holds for this old world. In the 11th verse of Revelation chapter 19, John makes this statement. He says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." John 1:1 tells us that that was Jesus Himself. Verse 14. "This is in the armies of heaven which were..." Excuse me. "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Wow. We understand that there's a day coming when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will return to this earth planet. I want to read another passage in verse chapter 21, Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. We read this. I love this passage. Such an encouragement. John now writes, I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Where's your hope, folks? in this world, in this earth? This earth, this world is passing away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He, notice, He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears. Hallelujah. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Wow. Yes, it's a glorious event when the Lord Jesus Christ went home, when he ascended from this earth planet and returned to his place at the right hand of the throne of God. But we also read from the scriptures with the assurance, the confidence that Jesus Christ will one day return where he will sit upon his throne and rule this world. Wow. Yes, Jesus Christ has gone home. He is at the right hand of his Father's throne in heaven. But we want to praise God. We want to worship him. He has also given us his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, so that we can have his presence in us, even today. As we saw from Ephesians 3, that is an amazing blessing to us and for us, of course. But it's more than that, beloved. It's more than that. The Holy Spirit is our empowering now to carry out the work that He, our God, our Lord, has for us until that day. Until that day when the trump sounds and He returns. Just thinking about that, thinking about just how to close this message today. And I thought, Lord, might my prayer be as your servant, as your follower here on this earth planet, awaiting, looking for your return. Might our prayer be, as Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Did you hear that? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Wow. Dear friend, my dear friend, are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? As I speak these words and ask that question, there's nothing really that has to happen before he would come back to the clouds and receive his to himself. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for death? Jesus knows your need. He knows the need of your soul. The exhortation from the scriptures is to call out to him. Call out to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I deserve judgment. But I'm asking you to forgive me. To forgive me of my sin. Save me. Save me for your glory. Wow. Believer, are we busy? You know, I found another song that certainly speaks to the message today. There's a song that certainly exalts with great, great respect and reverence our great God. And I hope I can hold it together. The name of that song is How Great Thou Art. Another old song. The words of that song were translated into English in 1949 by an English missionary. His name was Stuart Kine. Their publishing rights are still owned by Hope Publishing Company, but I wanted to just read three of those verses from that great, great hymn. I don't know how many times I've been driving somewhere in my car and just looking out over the landscape and into the clouds above and the words of this song. Of course, I can sing them when I'm all by myself. I won't plague you with my singing them here. But listen to a few verses from that great hymn. O Lord my God, when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And the fourth verse goes, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart that I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. The chorus just rings these words. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Father, indeed, we bow as humbly as creatures of flesh and blood can do. We bow before You with hearts that would desire to lift our hands, our soul, our spirit in worship unto You. Indeed, how great Thou art. You bore our sins to that horrible, ugly cross, paying the price, paying the wages of my sin, of our sin. And Father, today I pray for a heart of every child of God, every Christian would be enlarged, enabled to worship You with all our praise, with every ounce of reverence that we are. But Lord, as well, I pray for anyone listening to this message, anyone that we might have the honor, the privilege to witness to. Oh God, grant them faith. Father, I pray that they might be struck by the awesomeness of our God, the great God of glory who took upon Himself flesh and blood, came and lived that beautiful, sinless, innocent life, and then laid down that life for us. Oh God, please take up where this preacher fails. Communicate that beautiful saving message to hearts and lives. Lord, please draw savingly, beautifully to Yourself today. And we will give You glory. We will give You the praise for all and everything that You will do. In Jesus' name. we pray. Amen and amen. Well, once again, beloved, we close another service by stream. And this message will also be put up both on Facebook, Sermon Audio, and YouTube, where you can view it again or you can pass it on to others. We encourage you to do that. And be all, please also remember that this evening, I don't know exactly what time, but late afternoon, early evening, there will be a message uploaded from our evangelist, our staff evangelist, member of Metropolitan Baptist Church, Wayne Hudson. I so appreciate him doing that. We are just looking for ways we can continue to minister to you all. And so again, thank you. Thank you for being with us today, praying that we can be together soon to lift our voices together in praise of this great Savior, this awesome God that we worship. Till then, till next time, and bye-bye.